بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم: اصدق الهدي في كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الامور محدثاتها، وكل محدثه بدعه، وكل بدعه ضلاله، وكل ضلاله في النار. My brothers and sisters and elders, we spoke last week on the subject of raising children in the West. And as I mentioned to you, the West, I don't mean that in a geographical sense, but in an ideological sense. In what we call, or what I have, the term that I use for it is Westernism, because an ism is a way of life. Communism is a way of life, and so on and so forth. Hinduism is a way of life. Buddhism is a way of life. So also Westernism is a way of life. It's a set of ideals, a set of goals, a set of aspirations that are gleaned and imbibed from the environment in which we live and our children live. And like all goals and aspirations, they guide us, they motivate us, they give us direction. We choose one or the other based on those. Now, from what I explained last week, Islam is to submit our desire to the will of Allah. Rasulullah ﷺ said in the hadith, which means, he said, your iman is not complete until you submit your desire to the deen, to the religion which I have brought. There's no two ways about this. The basic fundamental principle of Islam is, we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wherever we may have a desire that runs contrary to whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered, we put our desire aside and we do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. The finest example of that is Ramadan itself. We have a desire to eat, we have a desire to drink, we have a desire to be with our spouses. But during the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, we do not do any of these things, even though they are halal. And the only reason we do not do those things during that specified time is because Allah said so. There is no other reason. Because Allah said so. Why do you fast? Because Allah said so. If somebody is fasting to lose weight or to bring down his blood sugar or something, it's not fasting. Right? We do it because Allah said so. Khalas. And that is the essence of taqwa, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called fasting, what did he say? La'allakum tattaqoon. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you become muttaqin. Who is a muttaqi? The muttaqi is the one who has submitted his desire to the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose only concern is Allah pleased with me or not, who thinks before every action, every speech, if I do this, will Allah be pleased? If he is sure, yes, Allah will be pleased, he does it. If he is not sure, he will not do it until he finds out. And if he knows that Allah will not be pleased, he will not do it, no matter what the cost of that may be in the world. Right? Now, Westernism is the opposite of that. Westernism is to subject everything to my desire. What is good, whatever I like. As long as I'm happy, that's all that counts. I want to worship, I don't know what. No problem. Go ahead. I want to drink, I want to do this, I want to do that. Good and bad both. I mean, I want to give charity, nobody stops you. And people are very charitable, there's no doubt about that. People are very kind, people are very charitable, they stand up for good causes. There's far more activism here in the West than there is in our country, so-called back home. Which is not how it should be, but it is. The point is not so much good and bad. The point is these are two opposite, opposing philosophies. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or submission to desire, which these two philosophies are mutually exclusive and irreconcilable. There can never be a compromise between them. One must necessarily submit to the other. Now that is the distinguishing factor, the signature of the Muslim, as I mentioned to you. Now the problem is, therefore, if you ask the question, is Islam compatible with Westernism, the philosophy, the answer is no, it is not. But is it still possible for Muslims to live in the West, the location, and live by Islam? And the answer is yes, without a doubt. And that's why I began with a definition, because when we ask about raising Muslim children in the West, we're not speaking about what we need to do in the location, but what we must do with combating those parts of Westernism as an ideology that are antithetical to Islam. Now, combat it is. Make no mistake. Like combat, it requires knowledge, understanding, a clear strategy, courage. It has risk and is painful. It is potentially fatal if you fail, and joyful and rewarding if you succeed. It's a serious business, it's not an intellectual exercise. The cost and benefit are both very real. The first thing to teach, therefore, is to draw attention to the definition so that people realize that there is nothing special about the West as a location which requires Islam to be re-engineered and interpreted or changed to suit people who live in the so-called West. Islam is Islam, no matter where the Muslim may live. As I said last week, it's like the principles of flight. They don't change for any country. They have to do with flight, not with where you fly the plane. The same principle of lift applies in India and Pakistan and Bangladesh and America and Australia and New Zealand. Planes don't fly from a different principle because they are in some other place. So what are the challenges of raising a child in the West? And again, as I said, they have nothing to do with location, but with Westernism, which is global and inside us. Westernism is very much existent also in our countries. In Pakistan, in Sudan, in Somalia, in Saudi Arabia and everywhere else. Westernism is very much there, very powerful and inside us. And what we teach for our children, and indeed before that, what we have to come to terms with ourselves is the following. Number one, goal reset. First and foremost, check, guide and mold their standards and goals and aspirations. But for that, and before that, check your own. What are your goals and aspirations? I've spoken to many young people in America, children of some of you, Musallis of this masjid, as well as children of some of my non-Muslim friends. And what strikes me is that there is no difference in their goals and aspirations. Now that, in my view, is the first red flag. Why is there no difference? Why is there no difference? The road depends on the destination. If you want to change the road, you must change the destination. As an exercise, when you go home today, sit your family down and ask them to write their life goal. And you write your own. Now you, of course, are now wiser, so you don't give in to that. Don't write a, you know, glowing life goal which is in correct line with the Quran and Sunnah. You write whatever life goal you have. And then check to see whether the word Allah comes anywhere in it. I do this exercise with my family business clients, Muslim family businesses. Big companies, some of them are companies over $1 billion in net worth. I ask them to do a SWOT analysis, strength, weakness, opportunities and threats. And when they've done the SWOT analysis, I say, where is Allah in this? Yeah? And they get very surprised. I say, you are a Muslim, you're making a SWOT analysis and you have no, Allah is nowhere in it. Allah is neither a strength nor a weakness, nor an opportunity, nor a threat. Where is Allah? So what is the basis of your decision making? So do that. Sit your family down. Ask them to write their life goals. And if somebody has Allah in it, alhamdulillah, very good. Check and see where does Allah come into his life goal. Second one is then course correction. Bring Allah into your home. And I don't mean bring Allah into home by saying invite the Shaykh to come and give a bayan and you sit there with your, you know, cloth on your head or something and look holy. No. Or come to the masjid for halaqa. Yeah? Forget halaqa. Daily conversation. Does Allah appear? Is the word mentioned? Outside of salah, outside of prayer, outside of Quran, daily conversation, is Allah mentioned anywhere? Monitor the Quran. Please don't get into the issue of blaming or punish. No. This is just analysis, diagnosis. What is wrong with me? Does Allah come anywhere in the conversation? Does Rasulullah come anywhere in the conversation? Normal conversation. We're going for a holiday, we're going for a trip, we're driving here, driving there, do this, do that. Does Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do they come into the conversation? I remember many years ago, over 20 years ago, Dr. Ali and I were going in New York, we were traveling with another brother, and his little son, who must have been about 3 years old, he was in the car in the back. So on the way, as we were driving, this little boy peeps up and he says, "Daddy, did Allah put in your heart?" I said, "What?" 3-year-old kid is saying, "Daddy, did Allah put?" I said, "What is Allah supposed to put in your heart?" He said, "You know, we have this habit, my wife and I." He says, "Anytime this kid asks for anything, we tell him, ask Allah. Whatever it is." He said, "All our children. He wants a chocolate, ask Allah. If Allah puts in my heart, I will give you. Whatever he wants, ask Allah." So he said, "Today I told him that I am taking these two of you to some place. Now he knows his friend lives on the way. So he said, can I come with you?" So I told him, "It's up to you, ask Allah. You can come in the car. If Allah puts in my heart, I will take the exit. And I'll drop you. If Allah does not put in my heart, you come for the drive, come back home. Khalas." So he's asking, did Allah put in your heart? Huh? That's what I mean by, is Allah in your conversation? I know many of you are big donors to this masjid. And you are donors, alhamdulillah, to masajid in your home countries. But how many of your children are donors to this masjid or some other masjid? Because you know what that means, right? If your children are not donors, it's going to stop with you. All your projects are going to end with you. I'm not saying children take money from you and donate their money, their pocket money. Doesn't matter. Maybe they donate $5. Do they do that? Is it part of their thinking that I must give charity, that I must donate to a masjid, I must donate to a madrasa, I must donate to an Islamic institution, I must donate to something which is good, which is happening? Is it part of their thinking? What books do you read? What programs do you watch on television? All of these color aspirations and focus on results. If you talk constantly about the dunya, that is what will dominate your life. If you never talk about the akhirah, it will never be in the focus. Number 3,
Set boundaries. Teach children to respect boundaries by respecting them yourselves. Boundaries are the essence of parenting. Teach them that being Muslim means to recognize and accept the supremacy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that obedience and allegiance is only to Him. This is the most fundamental principle which must be taught and practiced and demonstrated. And this must be the differentiator of the Muslim no matter where he or she lives. This is what drives every decision and action. This is the safety belt. Put it on or die. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا فما بعد قال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد Point number 4 Forget popularity You didn't get elected to the position of mom and dad You gave birth to the child So focus on being inspirational respected and held in awe and respect not liked You will be liked it doesn't matter if you are not liked as long as you are inspirational It is necessary to define boundaries without fearing unpopularity whether it's in parenting or in religion or in politics All corruption begins when people who should know better remain silent when they should speak for various reasons That's the foundation of corruption Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the corruption began in the Bani Israel when somebody would do something wrong and someone who knew what was right would stop him or try to stop him but if he did not stop this person would leave it at that and they would continue to have relationships with them Christianity interestingly is losing people in Europe churches are empty any of you who have gone to Europe to any of the great cathedrals completely empty even though the church to be popular has legalized practically everything but it's gaining converts in Asia and Africa where it's not so flexible and where local cultures also support boundaries people need definitive rules a free for all may sound nice but it's free for some at the expense of others boundaries are like seat belts They restrict freedom, but save lives. As we know, anywhere in the IT world, security is inversely proportionate to convenience. Why do you have passwords? They are a nuisance, but they keep you safe. Number 5, Allah first. Teach them to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is an outcome of shukr, an attitude of gratitude, where we are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy and blessings Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the believers walladhina amanu ashaddu hubban lillah Allah said and the believers they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone or anything else number 6 love Allah Islam is submission and submission is always difficult except when it is because of love remember that without love glory and majesty of Allah in the heart Obedience is at best a burden. Force or so-called logic are not substitutes because they can both be countered to one's own detriment. In Islam, the fundamental rule is that we obey Allah because He is Allah. We pray because Allah told us that is the way to get close to Him and we want to be close to Him. We don't pray to... People have various theories. I read somebody said we make sajda because it helps us to discharge static electricity from our head into the ground huh? we are earthing yourself Allah Kareem We don't do all that. We don't fast to lose weight. We don't pray because, you know, it's another form of yoga. We don't give zakat to ensure distribution of wealth in society. We don't go to Hajj to reinforce or show solidarity to the global Muslim Ummah. We do all of these things because we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is not only sufficient reason, but also the very best of reasons. After all, love begins where reason ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to establish salah as the way to remember Him and our relationship with Him as ubud of Allah, as ibad of Allah. Allah said, إِنَّنِي أَنَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدِنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Allah said, verily I am Allah, la ilaha illa ana, none has the right to be worshipped except me, so worship me and establish a salah for my remembrance. Salah is the meter, it is the criterion, it is the standard for all of life. Whenever Rasulullah was asked about anything, he answered in terms of salah, as he did in the definition of ihsan in Hadith Jibreel. Our salah, its quality and our attitude towards it demonstrates and is a measure of the state of our iman. Salah is the physical manifestation of the kalima. It is a demonstration in action that we worship only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam begins with salah, and therefore let us honor salah and teach that and imbibe that into the raising of our children. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث, أصلح لنا شأننا كل, لا إله إلا أنت. آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله, إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم, عدوا يستجيب لكم, ولذكر الله أكبر, والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيم السلام.